Let's go.
This is the Training Camp Review Podcast from Patriots.com.
Tempo in out of the huddle.
The Training Camp Review Podcast is your daily source for all the news from Patriots Training Camp. Couldn't make it to the Patriots practice? Don't worry. The writers of Patriots Football Weekly have you covered. Well, maybe not Fred.
Supposed to be hot. Supposed to be tough. The NFL. It's training camp.
Now, here to review today's practice, the writers of PFW.
Sunday, August 15th. That's right, Sunday. You're supposed to talk football on Sundays. We only have training camp practice to talk about, but it'll do. The penultimate day of training camp.
Thanks, Eric.
Well, I actually had to ask you if that was the right word I wanted to use before we came on the air, but that's a different topic for a different show. Paul Perillo alongside me, Andy Hart, here. Patriots training camp. Two practices today, or one plus, I'll call it. Just finished a padded session. Lasted almost 2 hours out here on the practice fields behind Gillette Stadium. This morning they had a walkthrough, first time back on the field since Thursday night's preseason opener against the New Orleans Saints. And a lot of interesting things to go over, Paul Perillo. Transactions, players coming, players going, injuries, all kinds of stuff. So we'll start with guys who are back on the field, and I think the biggest news probably of the last week, Ty Warren went on IR on Friday with a hip injury, and Derek Burgess reported to camp, was removed from the reserve did not report list because he reported, and was on the practice fields today. Looks like the same Derek Burgess lining up at left rush end outside linebacker. And you spoke with him shortly after practice. Why don't you bring some of his comments to the table?
Yeah, he did. He spoke to us, didn't shed a lot of light on the specifics, but he did say it was a personal issue that he had. It wasn't a matter of whether or not he wanted to play. He wasn't really deciding, do I want to play or not? It was, could I play or not? And he wouldn't get into the actual specific nature of the issue that he spoke of. I did ask him about the timetable when it came up, and he said it did come up right before camp, which sort of complicated things, but he said he was in contact with Bill periodically throughout the two-week time frame that he was gone. And then he just went on saying, he feels a lot further along in the process right now than he did last year, coming in cold, obviously, after being acquired from Oakland, and felt it wouldn't be very much longer before he felt he was up to speed. And he's ready to go. He says he's excited to play, and it was never a question of whether or not he wanted to play. He always wanted to play. And now he's here and he's doing it.
And at the very least, it adds veteran experience, depth with knowledge of the system to outside linebacker.
They needed it, no
question. Other moves today, maybe a bit of a surprise, Torrey Holt went on injured reserve. And Ross Ventrone, fresh off getting his clock cleaned Thursday night, was asked to clean out his locker and waived. They brought back Buddy Farnham at receiver, Brown, Mass native, local guy, and signed guard Brian Simmons, a rookie free agent, wearing number 65, like a
big
number
dude.
Of different, very big,
big dude.
Looks like a bouncer at a club. Don't mess with him. But I think they call him Big, just Big.
Yeah.
But certainly looks the part, and that 65 has been a revolving door in the last week. Torrey Holt.
Very surprised by this move. Not that he's not going to be a part of the 2010 Patriots, because I think if you've been listening to our podcast, that does not take anyone by surprise.
Right.
But to put him on IR and thus give him a sign, I don't know if there's going to be any injury settlement forthcoming.
Right.
Maybe this is just a paper move.
Sure.
And we'll see. But I believe 1 year, $1.7 million contract.
That's the number I heard in the media tent.
It's a lot of money for a guy who I don't think was going to make the team and didn't, and I shouldn't say this, but didn't appear to be seriously injured. He missed the last several sessions of practice, but he's been out on the field running around.
Jumping around,
all
celebrating,
over the place, celebrating plays being made and whatnot. So
strange.
If it's a season-ending injury, if it's something significant enough to end his season, it certainly didn't appear that way.
I agree.
A little surprised by that, yeah.
Another injury topic, an important one. The most important one. Number 12, Tom Brady. There were reports in the Boston Herald over the weekend that he was seen with his fingers taped on his right hand. His index and middle finger, or is that what it is? Index and middle finger were taped together.
Hell no.
I don't know what seen means. Somewhere out. Could have been an inside track type report where a mole ratted him out.
It didn't mention when he was seen. It just, where he was seen. It just said yesterday.
Oh, weird. Bill Belichick was asked about it this morning, downplayed it.
It's not life-threatening.
Not life-threatening.
It is what it is.
Reportedly, Tom was out there with his fingers taped this morning. I'm going to say I dropped the ball and didn't really notice in the walkthrough.
I didn't notice tape
in
the walkthrough.
This afternoon.
He did not have any tape on him in the afternoon.
And practiced completely, as energetically as you could, fiery as he's been in previous practices, getting angry, spiking the ball to the ground after he couldn't find an open receiver during one drill. Doesn't appear to be much there. I will say something we talked about in the press box. If you watched the TV broadcast of the game, after he played, they had a wrap on his right arm, forearm area, upper forearm, and he took it off once, was putting it back on. I don't know if that could in any way be related to the fingers, if it's two separate issues.
And we did notice that when he took it off, there was no big scrape.
No, it was
underneath,
like a compression issue.
Yeah.
So, I don't know.
I don't know. A nerve issue with maybe the fingers, you know, like Borges.
Finger, the arm. The arm, the finger. Bottom line is, he was on the field throwing the ball today.
None the worse for wear. He was throwing the ball well.
If it were a major issue, I doubt the very next practice in which they actually had pads on and practiced, he'd be out there. He was. Let's move on to the attendance. A lot of moves here before we actually get to practice. Very eventful weekend here at Gillette Stadium. Matthew Slater was in shorts and T-shirt. Lee Bodden, shorts and sweats. Brett Lockett was not out there. Terrence Johnson was in shorts and sweats. Dane Fletcher, fresh off the game, where he saw a lot of action actually next to Brandon Spikes after Mayo left the field. Shorts and sweats. Gary Guyton, shorts and sweats. George Bussey, did not see. Is that accurate?
Did not see George Bussey.
Logan Mankins, did not see, although according to Bill Belichick, will not be receiving a letter from the team, and there was a lot of stories around lately that they would be sending him a letter warning him that they could place him on the season-long reserve list or whatever it's called, the technical list. Bill said that doesn't hold true for him because he's not under contract with the Patriots. It's not a holdout.
Yeah, I think what he said was, I don't think any that affects any player
so
on our
ridiculous.
Team.
And then he said he's
not
under contract.
On our roster.
On our roster. Whatever. Same thing. 92.
Damian Lewis.
Damian Lewis and Jermaine Cunningham not out there.
Yeah, so there's a few guys that have not missed practice recently, although Jermaine Cunningham did miss the game.
Yes.
So he apparently came down with something in the afternoon practice on Wednesday, or the morning practice on Wednesday.
And then the one I would deem most concerning, well, actually, there's two injuries that I noticed during practice. Darnell Jenkins got banged up, was attended to by the trainers, walked off with Mike Woisick, and I would say gingerly is how I would describe his walking. And more importantly, Tully Bantakane kind of sat out the end of practice, did not run sprints with his veteran teammates while the opportunity portion of the practice was going on, was with the trainers, actually looked like doing crunches and some ab work, but was not taking part fully. Be an interesting one to keep an eye on with, as you said, Cunningham already down. You're starting to feel a little bit good maybe that Burgess is back. Bears watching what Tully Bantakane does over the next day in Atlanta into the next preseason game.
I did notice Rob Ninkovich was out there getting some reps in that spot.
Indeed. Beyond that, Paul Perillo, what made you have practice today?
Oh, that's
an open-ended question.
That's a pretty good question because it was. You're right. You described the day right because it was so much about who was here and who hasn't been here. Ron Brace returned.
Right.
You know, it was another issue today. We haven't seen him on the practice field. Talked to him briefly after practice as well. He's excited to be back after missing a lot of time. Listen, there was a lot of work, I thought, on the passing game again, and some really, really nice, kind of eye-popping plays that periodically, popped up during practice. I thought late in the day, Brian Hoyer's throw to Taylor Price in a hurry-up situation was as good as you'll see. It was a fourth-down situation. They needed a touchdown, clearly. It was an end-of-game situation. Perfect. Just everything was perfect all around. And other times you mentioned Brady's showing some frustration, but also a perfectly thrown deep seam route to Wes Welker, had him in stride, touchdown, a deep in cut to Randy Moss that was just
between
two or three layers of defense around him, and Brady just put it right on the money, right between the 8 and the 1, as you said. So there was a lot of good stuff happening, some physical play in the running game. There was a fumble early in the practice. Brandon Spikes,
my new favorite player,
continues to impress by getting through into the backfield. Got Sammy Morris once behind the line, and I think he was the one who was involved in causing the fumble on Ben Jarvis. Benny didn't hold on to the ball. That's not good. Not good. So a lot of different kind of stuff, but I thought the story of the day was who was here and who was not.
I agree, and who was not here, Ty Warren won't be here all year.
Right.
Looking at that defensive line today and what we've seen with Warren, who has missed basically since the third practice of camp, he's been out. We've had a chance to see this defense kind of formulate itself without him. Gerard Warren at left defensive end, Vince Wilfork in the middle, and Mike Wright at right defensive end. Now, a little bit different, Damian Lewis not out there today. He may be in the mix at some point. Ron Brace, Myron Pryor, all those other bodies. But consistently, that's kind of been the three-man front in base defense. What do you think about that defense and the possibility of Warren filling that Warren spot?
Mm-hmm.
In the right defensive end spot, that's been a question mark for, you know, we're about to go to a year now since Richard Seymour was traded. How good is that defensive front if that's what we go to war with?
Yeah, I would rather see Damian Lewis play on early downs and have Mike Wright stick in that situational role.
Right, right.
And Gerard Warren, I actually am pretty comfortable with. I don't know how you feel about it, but
sure.
I think he is shown to be, listen, he was the third overall pick in the draft, and I think in many ways he'll never live up to that. He's not that. He's not a dominating inside pass rusher or, you know, that kind of an impact
foundation
player.
Of a defense.
You know, he's not Warren Sapp.
Right.
You know, but I think he's a...
He's not Richard Seymour.
I think he's a pretty solid every-down player. He's had a lot of starts in his career. I think they can be okay with that. My major concern, Andy, is, we talk about this a lot at PFW in Progress. Just when you start the year down guys, it puts you at such a disadvantage. And, you know, Bill always says... It doesn't matter, you know, depth and, you know, now doesn't necessarily, well, they don't have the depth now.
But does a lack of depth in August mean something?
That certainly doesn't translate to depth in November.
Right.
So it's going to be, you're going to need somebody like Myron Pryor or a Cade Weston, or, you know, Brandon Dedrick, Darryl Richards, somebody that we don't know a lot about, Andy, is going to have to contribute, I think, for this defensive line to get by. Because right now, I don't think there are enough bodies.
I agree. Now, this is a training camp practice podcast, so this is probably the only appropriate time to talk about the quarterbacks throwing footballs towards barrels. Maybe one of the more exciting drills for the media and fans in attendance. We like to watch it. You know, there's actual useful stuff going on with open field tackling, special teams work, but we don't pay attention to that.
That's because they don't bring the guy all the way to the ground.
Tom Brady paid millions of dollars to do what we could do in our backyard, get a garbage can, get a football, and try to get it in. Tom Brady did not. Brian Hoyer is and has been the star of that drill by actually getting it in. I would say Brady's more consistent, hits it more often, is in the area more often. But Brian Hoyer has shown a knack, Paul. Did it twice today.
Sunk two today.
And then really celebrates and enjoys himself afterwards. As for that very one moment outshining Brady.
You know there's something on the line.
Oh, yeah.
Right? You know,
and it's tremendous.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's a Michigan State guy against a Michigan guy. Who knows what these rivalries get into. But what make you of that? And do you think it's in any way valuable?
Well...
Because, you know, we look from the media tent, we go, oh, that one might be good. Oh, way overthrown. But way overthrown is like 4 feet above the guy where the guy's hands would actually be. It's a garbage can. It's 3 feet tall.
Yeah.
It's short, round, and fat.
It's a fun thing for, you know, for accuracy.
It's the Paul Perillo of receivers.
It was funny today to actually have Zach Robinson get to play.
He rarely does.
Gets to take part. He actually hit the barrel once.
He did. Not very consistent, though.
Yeah, I put him in the Hoyer category.
I
think Brady is either hits the barrel or is right around the barrel on almost every throw. Hoyer is all over the place, and then all of a sudden sinks one.
Bullseye, and then he misses.
So, yeah.
It's a fun drill, though.
What to make of that other than entertainment, I really have no idea, Andy.
Anything else jump off the field for you before we wrap this circus up?
No.
Okay. Paul Perillo has nothing to offer in our mobile news desk. So we'll...
One more podcast to come
one
your
more.
Way, however, tomorrow.
Yes, because then the team will travel down to Atlanta for two sessions on Tuesday.
Hotlanta.
With the Falcons. There'll be no practice on Wednesday. Then we'll have the next preseason game Thursday night from the Georgia Dome. And as of tomorrow morning, if you have not seen training camp practice here at Gillette Stadium, you won't. If you want to see it, get down here tomorrow.
10
o'clock, Gillette Stadium. Your last chance to see Tom Brady and Brian Hoyer throw a football towards a barrel.
Andy Hart, Paul Perillo.
We'll be there signing autographs in the tent. Steve will be behind the glass, but tomorrow, your last day of training camp here in Foxborough.
Behind the glass.
Get
in
here.
The tent.
Until then, peace out.
Peace out.
Jumping, still competing, get their hands on balls, and right now I'm intrigued by that competition.
Thank you for downloading this podcast from Patriots.com. Log on anytime for more news and more podcasts from your favorite team and Patriots.com.